today are second time entrepreneurs, again building enterprise SaaS companies.
It was from moving from software to SaaS, and then now from SaaS to AI. I think the pain point is same.
If you don't sell, you don't learn about product, you don't learn about competition, you don't learn about customer problem, you don't learn about buying behavior.
My co-founder Samir really compliments in terms of where I'm very, very pushy.
Somebody who can be that gut person, another person can be the logic person, so that it complements.
That shared values is very, very, very important, because in the end, that's like the North Star for all your challenges.
You focus on brand from day one. Focus on customer, delightful customer support, not customer support, delightful customer support, delightful customer success.
Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of the Matrix Moments podcast. I'm Pranay and I lead our enterprise software investments. I'm excited to do this topic with three phenomenal founders, but today we are going to talk about second innings. And all three people with me today are second time entrepreneurs, again building enterprise SaaS companies. So we're going to learn from their experience of building and selling companies, why they started the second time, how they changed their approach on market, team, product, customer discovery, or building. So with that, we'll just do a quick set of introductions around the room. So Rishi is the founder of Rev Sales. He had earlier founded OneClick, which was acquired by Freshworks. Rev was recently acquired by PeopleZoom and is leading their India charter and growing their footprint in India. Next is Vijay. He is the founder of Atomic Work. He was earlier the founder of a company called Ninja, which was acquired by Nutanix, and he was a VP and GM over there. Thanks for having us over, Vijay. And along with that, on the Zoom link, we also have Arvind. Arvind is the founder of SuperOps, where again, Matrix is an early investor. Arvind was earlier the founder and CEO of a company called Zarget in marketing automation, which was again acquired by Freshworks. There's a battle here. And he's on his second journey as well. So I think let's start off, right? So first question for all of you, and feel free to answer wherever you feel strongly about the topic. But all of you have sold companies before. Why start up again at all?
Oh, with me? Okay. First. All right. So I was actually thinking of not starting, right? So for multiple quarters, I told myself I can't go through the pain again. So let me not start. I think a year before I left Nutanix, I think actually a year after we joined, like 2018, so I started like doing a lot of investments, putting money into a bunch of VC funds. I thought I will enjoy that, but I really didn't enjoy it. Right? So somewhere in 2021 end, I thought, I actually took a break also, it was at Nutanix. So I thought, because we were expecting our first child. So we thought maybe break is a good time to reflect and think about what to do next. Read a lot of books and whatnot. And I thought, man, I have to go back and do something. So as I thought of coming out of Nutanix, that's when it was very clear to me that I really enjoy seeding things. Startups give a lot of opportunities to seed a lot of new things. Why not go back and try one? And Dheeraj, who was my boss and the founder of Nutanix, also told me that we are all like very fortunate people. We have competence, some skills, some credibility, we can raise capital. We are the most productive people of, in our respective countries. So it's a crime if we don't go and do something that's meaningful in general. Then I found two really good people like Kiran and Persoon. So I thought, let's go start the game.
Nice.
Awesome. Arvind, any thoughts on this one?
Yeah. So I think I want to show this tattoo to people here. This is the tattoo which I got the day I sold my first company to Freshworks, just to remind me to start up again. This says, die with memories, not dreams. My dream was to start a company. And yes, Vijay said, It's like this thing, right? Like, can you climb and reach this particular, like if you go to a fit rock, like mountain climbing or something, you will have this thing of completing that race, right? So we got acquired. I know it was a short journey, 2.5 years and everything. Like I always had this question of, what if we didn't get acquired and we continued the journey and what we would have become, right? That question was never completed. So that's my answer for twofold answers. That is one, if I were to create a company, how big and can I do build a big organization with great culture and company? That was my question, which I need an answer for myself. That was the first reason. Second is this concept called lifestyle design. Like, see, end of the day, I'm sure money is one thing, building a great empire is one more thing. But the most important thing is what gives you happiness in life. So for me, it is, I can actually surround myself with people, like-minded people, where if you create, there is this rush and joy and an adrenaline rush you get to do like a great campaign or launching a product. That rush and surrounding like-minded people and able to do that, I think is where the joy is. So these are the two reasons why I started a company.
Awesome. I think I had like a couple of ways of looking at it, and it's been an endless journey for me. If you're in tech, I think in the last 25 years and for the next 25 years, there is so much opportunity. It's the market is for those who goes after that opportunity full on. And it's amazing that despite so much of productivity and size of the market, enterprise happening, there are still so many less who are trying to become an entrepreneur or go after opportunities. And for me, that has been the gap that has been there, that how do you go after the opportunity that's in software and tech. The challenge that happens is sometimes is you need to have a right partnership. My lesson learned, at least in the first thing that I did, was it really need to work out with the co-founder slash co-founding team that I started with. And early days, really first time you're the CS to put full net. I don't even know why you start up, but then you learn, you grow out of that. And the second time when you are looking at opportunity, I think finding a right co-founder, finding a right partner is what makes it really worth it and go after it. And for me, both of those things happen. And I'm now, after the exit, the way I'm looking at it is you know, everybody goes through their own opportunity, own journey in a startup. Some would put 10, 15 years from 0 to 1 to IPO. Some would take it bootstrap to another 10, 15 years from wherever they are to an ongoing journey. For me, the way I'm looking at it is that exits having just a point in time events in a journey that's just ongoing. So, I don't think I've called it as first exit or second exit. It's just an ongoing journey of being in an awesome market and really responding to the needs and solving the problem. So that's how I would. Yeah.
No, I think it's a really good thing.
No, I think it's a good segue actually into the next point, which is how did you think about team, right? And it is a lonely journey, it's a hard journey, yeah. But it's also a commitment with another person who may or may not have known for a long time. So how did you think about team, co-founder?
Yeah, I think the first thing I did like alone. So after that, I mean, the company didn't go anywhere. And so after that, I said, I'm never going on this journey alone. But
and why is that?
So because, you know, as a founder, right, like you know, even though people, you know, believe you're the most positive person, or the bullshit optimist. But there will be days where, you know, you might not be the most positive in your spirits. And two is, as a founder, you know, you always, you know, you have to be with the team. Also, you have to be outside the team, right? With your customers, your partners, you know, the market. So I think it's always good to have like one more so that you can balance, right? Because teams also feel lonely when founders are like, you know, away for, you know, too long. They're too long to be just a week. You know, it may not be like months and quarters, right? And so I believe that you know, I have to start with people. So, but if you look at my all journeys, they always started with people I didn't go to school with, because I genuinely believe that you can actually start with people and get to know them in the process and also build a company, rather than, you know, starting with people whom you went to school or college, because you, both of you have a perception, right? As a co-founders. So in my last company with Anand, the only commonality I had was he owned the trilogy, I owned the trilogy. But we never worked together, right? And he was not there when I went. He left. But just that's a commonality. So even with Kiran and Persu, you know, I knew Kiran for a very long time. So we always like spoke, exchanged ideas, thoughts, tech, and you know whatnot. But it's not like we went to school together, right? But I think I came to realization that I used to think, at least in terms of attitude and aptitude. Now I changed that definition to taste and talent, right? So these people have a really good taste, right? That means their bar is very high, right? So the way I basically thought Kiran had a high bar is I tried selling him multiple times software, he never bought it, right? So I said, okay, this guy really has a high taste, right? And second, I also worked with him or exchanged notes multiple times, especially around tech. I felt that I, you know, really got good talent. Similarly with Persu, right? So when the three of us got together, we were never like trying to compete with each other for ideas. Rather, we were all like trying to fill in each other ideas, right? So I said, okay, looks like there's a chemistry. Let's go on this journey. Right?
But I think just contrapoint to this, right? A lot of people will go with people they know personally, like you said, school and college, because that brings mutual trust and relationship.
So I also believe that, you know, as a founders, right, it's like making a movie. So if you make every movie with the same cast and crew, it will get boring for you. And for so you need some people. Of course, you need some people. So if you look at our team composition, there are people who have worked with me for the last 15, 20 years. There are people who worked with Persu and Kiran probably for like 10, 15 years. Right? So we have a mix of both of them. And I also believe, just like you're discovering your product, you also have to, you know, get to know people, right? If you know everything about, let's say, you know, I start with you, we both went to school, you have perception about me, I have perception about us. I think for humans, you know, changing this perception is very hard, right? So it's like I recently met one intern and he was still, he's right for it. VP level, the guy still calls me, sir, I did internship with you. I'm like, don't call me, sir. But you know, when after like 15 years, people generally have this, okay, my boss means my boss. Right? So the perceptions are hard to change. I also believe we should get to know people. And, you know, the good thing of, at least for me, it worked out, you know, whether it was with Amit in Gizapage, you know, we only know each other socially, you know, whether it was with Anand, Prashant at Minjar, you know, we only know socially, right? Now with Kiran, I only know socially, right? But look, you also respect people, right? Respect people for their taste and talent. You know, now I think I basically apply those two filters, right? Do they have really good taste? So they know what great means, what good looks like, and they're always dissatisfied with what normal is. Talent, you know, everybody has.
I feel that one of the things that we don't talk much about is largely founders, entrepreneurs are very paranoid and insecure. They're very, 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 we see so much of failures day to day. We realize where we are good at and where we are really, really bad at. And at least in my case, what I've largely seen is I've understood that these are a couple of things where I'm very, very bad at. And I love to partner with whoever it is who could complement in these things and really go out and make. My co-founder Samir really compliments in terms of where I'm very, very pushy or aggressive in terms of going after an opportunity. Samir is a lot more reasonable and really balances a lot of things. And in the net, that really, really helps.
He's classical music. That's wonderful music.
So we don't talk founders in our optimism, in our storytelling and messaging. We really don't bear our souls much, but we are always aware of our failures. We are always self-aware of our shortcomings. And we are always looking for this particular set of team members who are willing to fill that gap. What I have not agreed upon, and now I've changed that, is, hey, do we mix it up and change that? The challenge with that is, over a 5-year, 10-year journey, there will be scenarios where your character is put to test.
Yeah, right? You will bear.
And what comes through that time is this bonds and relationships and trust.
Yeah.
And the challenge that comes is, at that moment, if there's a new person that you do not know in such scenarios what the character of that person is when you're risking almost the entire dream of things. And there are multiple examples. Valley is now a place where we are talking about second innings. People are there with third, fourth, fifth innings. And or same startups that they've been at last running for 12 years, 15 years, or 20 years. And they, the founding team, have been together for decades, right? So that's the learning there also is, in the end, your high bandwidth competition, your trust, you knowing each other, really outweighs a lot of other things, because you can, at some point in time, buy it out in the market. You can fill that gap in the market. But high trust, high bandwidth is very, very hard to fill in. And I think that's what you start building in. But I think my approach has been is be extremely self-aware. And if you have that co-founder or a founding team where you're able to bear your souls and they are okay with that, I think you have a team that you get. You're a winning team.
So I think pretty much both of you covered the point, but I asked two questions to myself before I picked my co-founder and the team, right? So one is, say, as you rightly said, Rishi, a good day scenario is everything is rosy, everything is happy, it's all good. That the question you need to ask as a founder or a partner you need to pick is when shit hits the roof, like how you behave. That's the dark night quote. Like what happens that day, how you react, how you operate is what who you truly are. I believe that very strongly. And you need a co-founder who will stand by you on those bad days. That is the most important part of picking a co-founder. And second thing is complementary. And you both mentioned about it. It's not just the skills, like he takes care of product engineering, I take care of marketing and sales. That is not just the complementary. It's even in the attitude. I am a more a gut. I have wrote about this as a blog, Kirk and Spock in the startup terms, right? Somebody who can be that gut person, another person can be the logic person so that it complements. Like you extreme... everybody thinking in the only logic, you will not be able to have that kind of new ideas and things like that. So that the combination is very, very important, and complementing each other is very, very important. And goes without saying that trust, right? Like that's very important as a founder.
Yeah, I think I think both of them mentioned when you're starting, there is like a lot of positivity and optimism, right? I think one other thing what most people don't know. I think a lot of people, you know, before you, if you're planning to start a company with someone, before even you say, can I start a company, probably spend a quarter on it, meet multiple times, discuss about how do we handle conflicts, right? What is no-go on each other's side, and how do we get back together, and what happens if one person leaves, right? So one other thing, like, I basically told, you know, even my current co-founders is, very simple things, right? So this could be emotional things tomorrow. So the equity can't be the same because if somebody plays a CEO role, initially we can say all three came together, you know, it's the same split, but you know, a series A happens, series B happens, you know, things will change. Right? And as Arvind said, today you might be looking at a product, tomorrow you might be looking at go-to-market. You know, day after tomorrow you might be looking at people operations, right? Who knows, right? So while initially you start because the person is bringing some strength, you also want to look at people who have, one, they start with trust. You know, that's the kind of people that I like always. Trust, you know, there are two approaches. You spend a lot of time build trust. I always say start with a lot of trust, then keep adjusting it based on interactions and experience and stuff. And two, you know, have ability to resolve conflicts, right? I think most conflicts could be resolved if people consider positive. And most conflicts never get resolved because people can't come together, just sit across the table and talk. I think we have our share of conflicts, right? I think, as Arvind said, you know, Anand is like the most gut guy, heart guy. I used to be this brain guy. And then we reverse the roles. You know, there are times, you know, where I'll be like, you know, the person, you know, who shows a lot of empathy. That guy plays a lot of logic. I think it makes sense. The first company I started, not many people know, it was like online restaurant plus food delivery kind of thing. That was my first thing in Bangalore. When I tried doing it solo, I really felt it's very hard. But people can do it, you know. People like Jyoti, you know, have done it earlier. Now he's doing it again. But it's very hard, right? I think having 2-3 people who are as founders, and also like next 10, 25, 50 as a founding team, can actually make or break the company. Founders just save the company. It's really the founding team or the early team that actually shapes the company, right? And scales the company.
I'll just add it because you said freshness as a pattern. I think the early team, founders team, or founding team, they bond largely on shared values. Girish or the Freshness team was very much, which is now Freshworks, was on a people first kind of shared values. There are those who are on wealth creation shared values. There are those who are in bigger impact in terms of technology or something. So that shared values is very, very, very important, because in the end, that's like the North Star for all your challenges that you'll find. When shit hits the roof, you need a direction on why would I take this position and solve this problem this way? And that's that shared values. So I've seen constant with Girish, with all the problems and solutions on the table, and if there's one more side, say, is this a people first answer? At least in the early days. And if that's the answer, then that's the solution that's picked up, right? So I think there's lots of it itself, although it's very, very, very hard to find that in the early days. And it's, if you're lucky, you hit it off right off the bat. If you're unlucky, like in my case for the first gig, it's a waste of time for a long time.
Yeah. I think if you don't get along, I think it's okay to part.
Yes.
There's no point, you know, trying to see they cause friction to each other. Because if you, as founders, there's a friction among you, the teams will see it much earlier than even as a founders you realize there is a friction. But a lot of things could be resolved, people could be coached. First time founder, I think talk to your partners about trust, how do you resolve conflicts, and whom do you go to? Let's say if you don't agree on something, is there some person that we can go to, whether it's your equity angel or investor, or another college friend, you know, whom you both believe makes a perspective. I think be willing to adopt is what I can understand, because things are constantly changing. Don't hold your beliefs or ideas. See, you should hold on to your values. You know, values don't change for decades. You know, probably they might not even change for a lifetime. But a lot of facts or beliefs can actually change very fast, right? So be willing to adapt to those changes, and start with trust, right? And then go from there.
Yeah. Tactically, keep the cap table clean. Keep the cap table clean. US cap tables, I do not know. Singapore cap tables, US cap tables are fairly, they're fairly fluid in the sense there's legal structuring and other things where you can, in case of a cancerous item in there, you can work around that. But yeah. India-based cap tables, I think, once it's set in stone. So, it's very, very hard, and bad mistakes there actually sit there for a very, very long time. So it's very, very important that if you believe that this is not going somewhere, just clean it up as soon as possible. So at least many of us don't take that decision. We're like, dekha jayega. It'll hurt your ass little.
Well,
it's
a very tactical, clean up. I think we also have come a long way, right? Because now this is like, a lot of us are starting third time or fourth time or second time. I think we have seen this among our own friends within our own companies. Investors have seen it. Board members have seen it. I think now things have gotten much better. But look, I mean, don't start a company thinking there is going to be a conflict with my co-founder. It's a must. The second advice is, assume even if I get into conflict, I will put my effort to resolve it, because company is greater than my own ego. Right?
Yeah, I think the first principle thought process, right?
And the third thing is, look, if things are not working out, I think it's okay for two adults to sit across the table, talk about it maturely, and move on in all directions. Don't kill the company. Don't drain the energy of your team. Don't drain the capital that you raise.
One advice for a first-time founder building SaaS may or may not be for the US?
I think this one advice is hard, but I think when it comes to hiring, it's important to sequence things because it costs money. It's an overhead in terms of culture management. It's an overhead in the time that you spend. Sequencing in the sense is, do you want to hire a product person first, or get a co-founder first, or an engineer first, or a product management, marketing? It's very, very important to do that sequencing. And that sequence is just very much driven by what market you are in. So these two are very much tied. That is, hey, I want to be self-serve, PLG, North America. Then figure out what your first three hires in a sequence it needs to be. You listen to others, you listen to other founders, sometimes pressure from more investors come in and you make a bunch of these hires. It really, then you put your cart in front of the horse, and then I don't think you should be solving that. So I think one advice is largely is figure out the market first, and second is hire in the right sequence. So what's your top first hire that you'll hire for that market? Usual answer is, oh, I'll hire a VP sales. Sometimes it could be very randomly very different answer. Also, it could be product marketing person actually in that market, or it could be simply a customer success for that. So because you are the salesperson anyways. So it's really worth thinking through is who your first and the second hire is and sequence that, right?
I'll go first.
Okay, I'll go next. Okay. So okay, see, I think as founders, there is a nature we are persistent. Okay, that's a good thing. But in startup, I would want to think about the balance between being persistent and failing fast. As startups, we never run out of money, we run out of time. It's the time which matters. And for everybody who's starting up, the one advice I would want to give is, it's okay, you will not get everything right. Sometimes you will go in the wrong direction, but to understand that you made a mistake and went in the wrong direction, fail fast and come back. The time you are saving by understanding that you failed is more important. If you're thinking that I am persistent and right and still walking towards the wrong path is more dangerous than that's not persistent, right? Like understanding that I failed and correcting it is very, very important to be, and it's a good nature to have as a founder, because you will not be right all the time. You will be making mistakes, but accepting that and failing fast is important nature a founder should have. So the balance between persistent being failing fast is important.
So for the first time founders, my only advice is be obsessed about your customer problem and be adaptable, as I've been said. The only thing that matters is building product. You know, you can build company or design scale, you know, large go-to-market, you know, all that you can figure out. You know, first build the product, don't worry about building product. Stop attending necessary events. Stop wasting your time. I think most founders run out of time because they waste too much of their time and their team's time, right? So I think founders, the other advice I have is founders are responsible for shaping the work. Be extremely thoughtful. Otherwise, you waste your entire team's time shaping shapework. That's not useful for your customer. So be customer problem obsessed, not your product idea obsessed. And be very adaptable. Build product first, you can build company next. And don't worry about, I generally discourage when I meet founders at events, what ARR you're at. The guy is basically attending a conference that is for like $100 million companies when he's at 100K. It's like such a waste of your time, right? I think as a founder, you should respect your time and put a very, very high opportunity cost so that you make those pivots that are necessary, and you don't go bang on wrong doors, and you don't waste too much time, your time, your company's time, your investors' money, and your customers' time, right? Focus on building good product, and the way to build a good product is, be obsessed with your customer.
It's dev and rev, talking to customers or
right. That's the only thing that really matters, and don't waste your time, right? Because your time is the most precious thing for the company.
Awesome. I think we'll stop here. We've gone way over, but really enjoyed the session. I think we can do a chapter 2 and a chapter 3 because there's a lot more to unlock. But really appreciate you making a time, Arvind, Vijay, Rishi.
Thank you. Thank you everyone for listening to us.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you. Bye.